Welcome, everyone, to the final Take the Points podcast of the football season. Big one, the big championship game preview. I'm Tom Zalesnok in Hartford, Connecticut, live via Skype with Dan Partridge in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Dan.
What's up, Z? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. You want to kick this off, Dan? What were your thoughts on the season and the playoff and just overall general thoughts on this football season?
Sure. I think it was a really weird college football season for a whole bunch of reasons. One, I mean, obviously it was the first year of the college football playoff, so, you know, that was very interesting and very fun. But I think overall that the teams in college football this year are not as good as they've been the past few years. I think whoever wins the national title tomorrow night would have gotten murdered by Florida State last year, by Alabama the year before. So I think it's kind of a weak year in college football overall. But it was really fun with the playoff, and looking forward to it every year from now on out.
I agree with you in that Florida State last year was better than any of these teams. However, I don't know if I'd call them weak. I thought there were six very, very good teams, and that was sort of a problem. It was probably the worst year ever to launch the first ever playoff You've got six teams that are all almost equal caliber. Now you can look back and with the benefit of hindsight and say, well, Ohio State definitely deserved it. Baylor definitely didn't deserve it. TCU, you know, they had a cute little run, but they're not on the level of Ohio State.
Yeah.
So it's impossible to look back and think where the committee was before those games were played and what a difficult decision that was. And it doesn't matter because this 14 playoff is going to be so much better than the BCS. It already is, and it's going to be great in years to come where we don't have such big controversy and so loaded teams at the top.
Right, I agree.
So let's review the big playoff games. The Rose Bowl is a pretty simple one. I think we can keep this short.
Yep.
Florida State had 5 turnovers in that game, and that led to, I believe, 34 points by Oregon.
Yep.
Oregon won the game by 39. So If you're looking for the difference in the game, it was those turnovers. I know that people look at it like Florida State got embarrassed, they got exposed, but to me, they just played a superior opponent and they played their worst game they've played of the season. And bad breaks just amounted to a score that is a little bit deceptive.
Right. And, it was a weird game for Florida State on top of the turnovers. I mean, they're down, I think, 18-13 end of the first half, and their unbelievable kicker somehow misses a field goal. And it would have been 18-16 going into half, and I think, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then Oregon gets the ball, they come out, and they score in the second half before you know it's 25-13, and the game kind of gets out of reach. So, yeah, Oregon was very opportunistic, and it paid off for them.
Any words of wisdom or final eulogy or departing words you want to give to Mr. Jameis Winston and the rest of the Thug Life Florida State team?
It's going to be really interesting to see what happens with Mr. Winston. I mean, he has all the tools to be a good NFL quarterback. I don't know if the off-field stuff is like really, really that bad or it's just, you know, him being young and, you know, immature, but
Would you want him on your team? You're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Let's say Ben Roethlisberger decides next week he wants to retire. He's had enough getting beat down.
No.
And the Steelers trade up and have the second pick in the draft. What would you want to do?
No, because it's just an off-the-field circus and everything like that. So, no, I'm all set with that. But he could be good. He could be awful. He could be the new Vince Young. I mean, that's very possible, but it'll be really fun to see. And I thank you, Jameis, for the last 2 years of Florida State football. It's been really fun to watch for the first time in about 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, since probably, what was it, 2000? Last time they were...
99, 2000, right around there, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so moving along to the more interesting and exciting game, the Sugar Bowl. The mighty Alabama from the all-powerful SEC came in. They were supposed to dominate, and they were defeated by an upstart program, Dan. I hope I'm pronouncing this right. Ohio State.
That's correct.
They're from something called the Big Ten. I think it's a FCS.
Never even heard of them.
Anyway, them and their 14th string quarterback somehow overcame the mighty Alabama and won 42-35. Anything you noticed about that game that you thought was telling?
Well, I think that Alabama was overrated all year. I mean, they are Alabama, but they're not the same level of Alabama teams they've had the past 5 years. I think we were pretty upfront about that the whole year.
I think that goes back to what you were saying at the intro of this podcast, where there isn't a dominant team this year.
So, you know, people are like, oh, my God, Alabama lost. But this isn't like the unbelievable Alabama teams the past couple of years. So, but hats off to Ohio State. They played an amazing game. I was watching that game completely shocked. And Urban Meyer is a really, really smart coach if he has time to prepare. And that's one of my main fears for this game coming up tomorrow night.
One thing I've noticed about Ohio State is that they seem to draw some power from the belly shirt. Half their team has shirts that only go down to about their chest, and those are all the best players on the team. And I think maybe something to look for in future, you know, if they win the championship, I think young players like to mimic their heroes. We're going to see a lot more half shirts. It's going to be basically like Britney Spears is choreographing college football.
I can only hope.
Okay. Do you want to get into the championship game? I also have a proposal for an 8-game playoff or an 8-team playoff that I think is interesting. First. And I also have an Ohio State Game of Thrones theory.
We can do your two whatever things here first before we do the pick.
Okay. So I'll share the Ohio State Game of Thrones theory. I was watching the Sugar Bowl with my friend Matt, who's an Ohio State fan, alumni actually, one of the good ones. So he told me about this interesting theory. Ohio State had a fan mascot. I'm sure you've seen all the crazy Ohio State fans who dress up and paint their face, and there's a few of them. What happened is apparently they had a fan mascot named Neutron Man. Think of the Jets fireman Ed. It was the Ohio State version. And he was the fan representative. He went to all the games. He dressed up. He had season tickets. And then he died, I think, a few years back. Sort of unexpectedly, probably, you know, a heart attack from eating kielbasa and tailgate food for his whole life.
Right. Goes without saying.
So Ohio State had sort of a void where they would have the fan mascot. And in that void has emerged three competing fan mascots. They have the Black Cowboy. Now, I apologize because I don't know any of these guys' fan names. But there's the black guy who wears the cowboy hat. There is the guy who paints half his face silver and half his face red. And from what I've heard, he really stinks. Like, he smells horrible. And then there's a guy who wears a weird pom-pom looking wig and has a million Buckeye necklaces. From what I've heard, these guys are engaged in some sort of Game of Thrones competition. They each want to be the Neutron Man, the new Neutron Man.
Oh.
And they hate each other. And they're basically fighting for fan supremacy. It's very intriguing, Dan, what people dedicate their lives to.
Freaking Ohio State. I mean, that's all I really got to say. These guys are a bunch of losers, and this is what always happens.
It cracks me up. Next time, you have to watch the game to appreciate it, but next time you see this guy with a half-silver, half-red face, just think, he watched the death of Neutron Man, and he thought to himself, I will be the new Neutron Man, and he's dedicated his life to it ever since, as has the cowboy, as has the Buckeye necklace guy.
Those guys need to find a life.
It's awesome. Who do you think would win just based on those descriptions?
I'm going to go with the Black Cowboy.
Yeah, I'm not sure who would win. I think the stench guy can overpower people with his body odor. Possible. But I think if it was up to me, I would go with the Black Cowboy. I think he's a nice change of pace from Neutron Man.
Okay, there you go.
And he's got the coolest outfit in this era of college football teams wearing interesting uniforms. I say go Black Cowboy.
I like it.
All right, my 8-team playoff plan. The 4-team playoff proved insufficient this year. TCU and Baylor should have been in. We needed 6 teams. However, I think most years the 4-team playoff might be sufficient. Here's my plan for the 8-team playoff, which I think could be superior if done correctly. Now, Who gets in? Number one, all five conference winners get an automatic bid, provided they finish in the top 15. So when you have those years where Cincinnati's winning the Big East ranked 26th, no bid.
I like it.
But most years, that's going to get all five of your conference winners in. The highest ranked independent or non-Power 5 team gets an automatic bid as long as they finish in the top 15. So in a year like this year, now this is one, again, with the power of hindsight, we all saw Boise beat Arizona, and we say they deserve to be in. But when you're looking at teams this year, like your Marshall and your Boise, teams that are struggling and have a couple losses, they're out. Now, if two non-Power 5 teams finish in the top 10, a la Boise TCU in 2010, both of them get in.
Okay.
Because they don't play each other and they don't play in the same conference, it's really unfair to have two of the top 10 teams be those minor conference teams and only one's allowed to get in.
Makes sense.
And then the remainder of the open slots, which will be anywhere from one to three teams, maybe more if a Power 5 team sucks, those go to the at-large bids. Now, here's how I pick the at-large bids. Based on four criteria. It's A, which team has the best chance to win the national championship? B, which team has better wins? C, which team has better losses? And D, which team had the more exceptional season? So, for example, this year, Michigan State and Mississippi State are both ranked right next to each other, but Michigan State kind of underperformed and sucked in their two biggest games, whereas Mississippi State was ranked number one for much of the season and was more of a story.
Yeah, for sure.
So those are my criteria. And this year you would have ended with the six teams plus Mississippi State and Ole Miss under that criteria.
I'm okay with that.
Do you think we need an eight-team playoff? Or yeah. Do you think that given what's happened in the last couple games that the four-team is sufficient?
Eight for sure, because I think as you look kind of at like the NFL game, that these wild card teams seem to be very hot and seem to have like won a bunch of Super Bowls over the past few years. I think the same thing can happen. A team could lose one or two games early, then then you know, win every game from there on out, and then be a hot, you know, team going into the playoff as a 7 or 8 seed and definitely could win the whole thing. So I think 8 would make more sense.
Dan, how much do you think the timing of these playoff games affects the outcome? Having a month off and then having 2 weeks off from the championship?
A lot. A ton. Motivation is big for the, you know, non-important, you know, bowl games. Also time off, whether the kids are or are not in school. I mean, we'll talk about that when we come to the pick.
Do you think the outcome would be different? Do you think we'd see two different teams in the championship game if had they played it the week after the conference championship games?
Yes. Maybe. I think any time that you give a really fantastic coach like, you know, Urban Meyer or Nick Saban some time, that they perform better. So I think teams who have really good head coaches would like, you know, 2 or 3 weeks off to prepare.
Okay. Interesting. We'll see how it goes going forward. As I said, the college football playoff's already better than the BCS.
Yeah, for sure.
And I can't wait to see how it goes in future years.
Oh, yeah.
All right. It's time. Monday, January 12th, 8:30 p.m., the college football playoff national championship from AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas.
Of course it's there, by the way. Of course it's at the Jerry Dome.
Yeah, was there ever any doubt? So we've got number 2 Oregon versus number 4 Ohio State. The line began at -7 toward Oregon. It's now moved to about -6 in most places. The over-under is 74. Is it possible that we have talked about these teams, they're not being a dominant team. Is it possible that one of these two has been the dominant team and we've sort of missed it? Oregon lost one game, but they lost it without a star offensive lineman and other injuries. Ohio State's been pretty dominant for the last 3 or 4 months. They really had to work in a new quarterback and a new system and some young players. And since October, they've been pretty great.
No. For me, I just don't think that either of these two teams have the don't know if firepower is the right word or not. But I mean, I just feel like even this Oregon team would lose to some of the Oregon teams over the past couple of years. But right now, Oregon and Ohio State are the two best teams for 2015, so here we go.
All right, let's start a little differently than we do normally. Let's start with the over-under of 74. To me, it's too high. Now, I know these are both teams that have been scoring a ton, but the pressure of this game usually leads to slow starts. I think that Oregon's defense is better than it's been for most Oregon teams. I think Ohio State's defense is pretty good, although they give up some big plays once in a while, and both defenses have certain weaknesses. I just don't see these teams coming right out of the gate with a totally hot start. I think there's going to be at least a quarter of sluggishness.
Maybe that is possible, and I think you might be right for the first, 4, 5, 10 minutes of the game. But Oregon has only scored under 34 points one time the entire year. That was against Arizona at home. Outside of that, they're averaging something absurd, like 49.1 a game or something. Ohio State's averaging a bunch. I'll take the over just because it'll be no fun to bet the under. Once these teams get rolling, late first quarter, there's gonna be a ton of points. So I think it'd be kind of fun to bet over. Plus, I mean, it's AT&T Stadium on turf. It's not like the national title between Auburn and Oregon out here in Arizona, where they decided to not even mow the lawn for like 3 weeks, and it was like a mess out there on that field. This is the Jerry Dome. This is a fast surface. This is Oregon. This is 100,000 people. I think you might see some, early nerves, but as the game goes on, it's gonna be a fucking shootout. So I'm excited for that.
All right, well, let's get to the pick, Dan. Why don't you kick it off? -6, Oregon. Are they that good where they should be favored by 6 over the other championship game team?
No. God, this has been such a shitty college football year for me overall. I didn't have my most amazing year in terms of sports betting. Alabama's out. I loved Auburn and Ole Miss. They both had a bunch of injuries and an impossible schedule. Art Briles missed the playoff and then gave up three touchdowns in 5 minutes to lose a bowl game. I'm just having a bad year. And of course, when you're having a bad year in sports, you have to face your fears. And now I got Ohio State here in the national title game.
We should tell the fans who don't listen frequently. So Oregon is, we both grew up Penn State fans, but in recent years, Oregon is basically both of our favorite team. We love watching them. They're the most exciting. They're
Exactly.
probably the favorite team of this podcast.
It's true.
Now Ohio State,
Least favorite.
would it be fair to call them the least favorite team of this podcast?
Probably, yeah. They're number one. They're up there with Notre Dame and like Boston College.
Right. So I've come around a little on Ohio State. I try not to let my biases influence my picks. I know they're a great team, but
Yeah.
I am not a fan for sure.
So, going back to breaking down this game, a couple things. Advantages for Ohio State. One huge advantage is the head coach. Helfrich is unproven. From what I've read online, a lot of people are not a fan of Helfrich. They think he's kind of an idiot. Now, I'm not saying he is. I haven't seen enough of him. But advantage head coach Meyer, check. That's one. Two, classes. Oregon in school. Ohio State not in school right now. NCAA is very
Dan,
strict.
they ain't come to play school.
That's true. NCAA is very strict when it comes to practice schedules. Oregon can only practice 25 hours last week. Ohio State was unlimited. Advantage Ohio State. Three, offensive and defensive line. Ohio State, check. Four, skill position players. Oregon, four. As much as it kills me to say, final score. Ohio State 41, Oregon 38.
Wow, you're calling the upset right here
Yep,
on this
it's
podcast.
gross. It's I'm not happy about it. I'm not happy.
This was a tough one for me. Oregon, at first glance, seems like the dominant team of the year. They've been blowing people out. Their one loss came with injuries, and they avenged that loss by a landslide later in the season. They destroyed Florida State. Their defense caused 5 turnovers. But as you said, Urban Meyer just always knows how to win. He just finds ways to make players dominate and turn teams into a synergy. I hate that word, but something that is greater than the whole of the parts, which is why they can put in a second string quarterback. That's right. Second string quarterback, Cardale Jones.
Yeah.
And succeed and do so well. And it's like they didn't miss a beat because they're a team and they run a certain style of play. And I think I would definitely take Ohio State with the points. I'm very torn. Obviously, I want Oregon to win this game.
Me too. But trust me, I'll be rooting so hard for Oregon.
This will be one of the occasions I do this. I don't have a name for it yet, but sometimes I use gambling to try to offset my inevitable disappointment. Like when the Patriots are, I'm pretty sure the Patriots are going to beat Peyton Manning and make it to the Super Bowl. I'll bet heavily on the Patriots because my bad luck will sometimes cancel that out.
Good.
And I can sometimes will them out of the Super Bowl. At least I believe that.
Please do that again this year.
I believe I will be betting heavily on Ohio State in this game, Dan. It's a trick to help Oregon win the championship.
You should put some money on the Ohio State money line. So if they just flat out win, you get a nice payday at like 2-1 odds.
And that's what's going to have to happen.
Yeah, because if you lay the if you take Oregon -7 and Ohio State loses by 3, you lose it all. If you take Ohio State -7 and Ohio State +6 or whatever, and they lose by 10, you're gonna be like, "What the fuck? How'd I do that?" So just make a small bet on the money line, root for Oregon, hope you lose money.
What amount would you pay to see them lose? That's the question.
I wish I had more money. That's hard to say.
I will not be mortgaging the house or putting down assets.
Now, how much money would I pay to have Ohio State and New England both lose? I'd probably go to the bank, an ATM card, probably.
Well, we're focused on Ohio State here.
But I'm just saying, if you threw that in, that would help.
All right, so the podcast pick is Ohio State +6.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll be taking Ohio State on the money line.
Yeah, I'm not even going to bet the game at all. I actually have a NFL parlay involves Oregon, so maybe I'll make it that far. But I'm not betting Ohio State. I hate them. I will wear an Oregon shirt and cook out on the grill and root hard for Oregon and enjoy my last college football game of the year.
My heart will say Oregon. My wallet will say Ohio State.
That's well put.
The best analysis I can give. Dan, we got about 1 minute left in... sorry for the short podcast, everyone, but we got things to do. You have any message to the people who've listened all season?
Thanks for listening. If you have, college football is so great. As you watch the NFL more and more and you see how everything's, it's a very weird sport with the rules and Roger Goodell and blah, blah, blah. It's nice to watch college football where there's players not playing for, you know, contract extensions or not playing to get hurt, because they have guaranteed money and there's not a personal foul thrown every 2 seconds and there's not all these off the field issues. I mean, I love college football and I'll miss it. And I'm excited already for next year.
Thank you everyone for listening to the podcast. We look at the analytics and this has been the most popular year of the few years we've done it. And we really appreciate everyone who I know I listen to podcasts and I know it takes up a good chunk of your life. You know, you really have to commit to it. Even if you're doing something else like cleaning the house or going for a run while you listen, you're still choosing to put this on and download it. And we really appreciate it and we understand it. So thank you for listening. I guess we'll be back next year.
Yeah, we will. See you in August, people.
That's a long time, but you know,
start. All right. 8 months, everyone. Hit the gym. Start watching what you're eating. I want to see noticeable improvements in 8 months out of every one of you. So come on, let's go.
All right. Thank you again for listening. And that's it. This is the end. Goodbye.
Peace. Take the point.
PowerPoint.